How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is hour number 3, our third and final hour of today's G-Bag Nation, because Rangers baseball is coming up at 5 o'clock pregame in Cleveland. Had Cam Cauley on the show back there at 2:20. It was outstanding. We talked baseball with him for probably 15 minutes. Gave us an incredible story on his journey to the big leagues and what he expects to happen next. But, I mean, any subject with Cam Cauley is just outstanding. Okay, so I advise you, if you're a Rangers fan, you want to learn more about your new guy, jump back there into the 220. But joining us now to talk NBA free agency day one, Tim Cato, All City, here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you fellas today?
We're doing wonderful. Thanks for asking. Hoping for something coming down the pike from the Mavs. Do you think we're going to get something big? What are you hearing?
We're getting a lot of big moves all around the league. This is wild, just the amount of transactions that we're seeing. I wouldn't at this exact moment, clear your schedule to have a champagne celebration flute hosting event. It doesn't seem like it's directly headed that direction for the Mavs at this moment. But the thing, like the big picture story of the NBA to me, is just how much transactions are happening. You know, if Dallas doesn't get involved, even in a small way, even in a, one player ends up here, we've already heard some Marcus Sasser rumors, Dallas's own, that's kind of going to be a guard who's probably more of a cast off from the Detroit Pistons. But it seems like Dallas is the favorite to get him. That's not fireworks. That's not champagne. We're not popping corks. But I would be shocked if that move, something else, just Dallas is going to be involved in stuff. It just does not seem like the largest fireworks, the biggest transactions of here, the coming, 24 hours. Officially, we start in about an hour here. It doesn't seem like that is at least the day one or day two plan. And it's hard to see, where they would go for something huge. But definitely a lot of moves, a lot of interest.
It is a little bit disappointing, but I guess the good news is Jerry and Steven have prepared us for these kinds of openings to free agency for 2 decades now.
Yes. I think they have. I'm sure you guys are just glad Messiah's in there. maybe he can coach. Maybe he can be the GM of 2 Dallas franchises.
I don't think a lot of Cowboys fans would be disappointed by that. But obviously, the biggest news of the day is LeBron going to play elsewhere. Where is he headed, Tim?
If I had to guess, I'd say Cleveland. We heard the Golden State scenario, the package deal of LeBron and Anthony Davis, even though might have to check this again. I believe they play for separate teams now. I don't know how you can be a package deal when you are employed. I guess LeBron's a free agent, but obviously Anthony Davis, that'd be fun. I saw the, I think it was a Skip Bayless. He was like Olden State, would have been a fire nickname. One thing I recall hearing, about Cleveland though, I couldn't tell you with certainty. This is just my gut feel, and at least the gut feel of like one or two people I've talked about. I think LeBron really noticed how Cleveland cheered for Bronny James. He got into a game in Cleveland. Obviously Lakers, they only play on the road once in Cleveland. And Bronny James got in at the end of that game. I believe it was the end of that game. And, we're just like hooting and hollering for him when he made a shot. That is, home for – LeBron's played a lot of places, but that is always the place that we're going to most remember, most associate LeBron with. I still think that's the perfect coda. I would love Golden State. I think that would almost be like a bachelor party, like the stereotypical bachelor party of a bunch of aging vets. They're not really going to challenge for a championship, but you get one last moment of just having fun with your boys. I would enjoy watching that. I don't think that makes them a contender, but I guess Cleveland, if I had to, but I'm sure we're going to get a lot more definitive news very soon about what his future is going to be.
It's Tim Cato with us here in the G-Bag Nation. I'm with you. Cleveland makes so much sense, but it just reaching on that storyline from a couple summers ago of Kyrie maybe going to L.A. to play with LeBron, do you think the Mavs would have any interest there?
It's a great question. Would Dallas have interest in LeBron James? It almost seems like a crazy thing to say. And you're probably signing up for 1 year. I'm not sure. So there's obviously, and you guys are probably going to get to this, but there's obviously some buzz around Dallas and Kawhi Leonard, who now looks almost certain, it's pretty much locked in. He's going to Toronto. But there was buzz very briefly about a reunion with Kawhi Leonard and Masai Ujiri about Kawhi coming here. I had heard that stuff. I wasn't able to vet it to the point that I was comfortable running with it. I still think it was a great scoop from The Athletic when they published it. That was definitely out there. It was floating around there. And the question I got, or the question that was given back to me when I mentioned this to some people who I was talking to, is why would Dallas do that? Why would they use any assets to kind of push they've kind of reorientated the timeline fully around Cooper Flagg. Do they need to be going and adding a 35-year-old in Kawhi who has injury problems? And as weird as it sounds, like I guess if LeBron was just like, I'm going to come here as a free agent, I'm going to sign for the mid-level, you'd probably say yes because you can't say no. But in lieu of that, I don't think it makes a lot of sense for Dallas. I think Dallas is very focused on Cooper Flagg and making sure that everybody around Cooper Flagg is working on his timeline, not somebody else's timeline. Not, hey, Cooper Flagg, you're on the ascendancy and you're the star of our team. But by the way, we're going to have the sideshow, except it's not even going to be a sideshow because LeBron James can't be a sideshow, especially when we realize it's going to be his last season. I think with almost certainty we realize that. And so I think the answer is no. I think as much fun as it would have been a couple of years ago, and as much as it would have made sense on that iteration of the roster, I just don't think it does make sense for these Dallas Mavericks right now.
When it comes to the Mavs, are you expecting more? Is it more of a free agent situation for them, or is it getting into some trade waters?
It'll probably be trade stuff. So free agency has become smaller and smaller and smaller. You guys obviously follow the NBA. You know this. There are very few big free agents that happen anymore. Everything happens through trades. Even free agents happen through sign-in trades or they're conditional based off this other trade you have to do to move salary to open up, a trade exception to absorb the person in. It's become very complicated. So I think everything is going to be trade adjacent. And what free agency does exist for is Dallas. They have the mid-level to be able to use. And so you might be looking at a seventh or an eighth man coming in here for about like $15 million or something like that. You're not looking at much else. That's pretty much what free agency is at this point. But I think Dallas, like there's going to be so much movement that and Dallas is in a position where they could take on some bad salary in exchange for, we don't have a lot of draft picks. We'll take even two more seconds. That's more draft picks than we had before. I think they're definitely in a situation where they should be open to even helping bigger deals that are happening throughout the NBA.
What stood out to you about the Dusty May intro yesterday?
I liked it. He's obviously very polished, very impressive. How are his sons so much taller than him and his wife? That blew me away.
Like, Milkman?
They're towering over him. But besides that, this is obviously just a very, very competent person. The tact with which he handled. I didn't even know they're drafting Merez. As Merez is joking, I guess I'm the favorite, of the three Michigan men who went. I thought that was, amusingly handled. This is a guy who's going to come in. And I don't think, as much fun as we had, and I know some fans did not have fun with this, but as a media member, I had a lot of fun with Jason Kidd and his weird quotes and what the heck he meant by them sometimes. I really enjoyed that. I don't think we're going to get a lot of that is my impression from the presser. But beyond that, I think his resume, obviously it's not an NBA resume, not yet, but I think his resume speaks for itself in terms of this is just a really, really polished, competent head coach. And I think we're just excited to see how his college on-court acumen translates to the NBA. I have no concerns about like the type of person, the type of leader that he's going to be in that locker room.
Tim, what kind of have you kind of get a handle on maybe some of the assistants? I'm sorry if there's a list that's been out, I missed that. But is there a group of coaches that he's particularly looking at right now that you kind of have a handle on a little bit?
I do not. That's a good question. It's one that hasn't been top of mind, and it probably should be now that he's settled in. I have a list of assistants that are not with the team anymore, and I'd have to go check. I'd have to go pull that up somewhere. I believe they retained something like three of the assistants of the, I think the number would be eight or nine, is people who officially were considered assistant coaches last year. I think most of those names got reported, about six of them were let go. For example, Frank Vogel was one of them. You know, there's people who was asking, would Frank Vogel be the guy who kind of, you know, just slots in as a guy who's here and available and has done it before? No, you know, because he was part of that wave of releases once Jason Kidd was released. I actually find it very curious to see what the Mavericks do and what Dusty does with this, just because we know in the NBA, when you're an established coach or even a first timer, a lot of times you are bringing in people you have these long time relationships with. There isn't enough track record of college coaches coming to the NBA. I guess, you know, I'd be curious to go look and see what like Brad Stevens did. But you know, whether he brought his own assistants or at least one or two of them. But I don't know. I would imagine the logical thing to do would be to bring in an experienced veteran assistant or two, just to make sure that whatever Dusty lacks in NBA, like direct hands-on NBA experience, he's got somebody he can lean on. And I'm kind of speculating this out, and I will try to send some text about this and get back to you guys. And, you know, if I have something I can say, I'll text you again and we'll hop back on. But, my guess is that it's going to be people Masai has relationships with.
Okay.
You know, that would be kind of the logical train of thought, right?
For sure. Tim Cato, All City with us here in the G-Bag Nation. How do you like the Lakers' chances to keep Luka happy?
Oh, boy. I don't know, man. What a disappointing thing for him, obviously. You know, it's easier now that the shadow of LeBron is, you know, not that he was causing problems. It was just a shadow, you know, like we don't, you know, it was an inevitable part of understanding the Lakers. And, you know, his confirmation that he's departing is why we've seen news that I've also heard. I was hearing a little bit earlier today that, you know, Mamu, the backup center up in Toronto. I haven't practiced his last name in a second, so I'm not going to say the full thing. It's a long one. And then Quentin Grimes is another free agent target. So that's a couple of names that they're going to add to the roster. But it's not, you know, it's not stars, and they don't really have a pathway to immediately go get stars. I'm not confident is the answer. I'm not terribly confident, and we'll see what happens here in the next year or two.
Tim, what about Gafford and PJ Washington and some of the other rumored Maverick targets that they could be parting with? Like, do you still see that as a reality? I mean, what is the market for them out there? Is there any buzz around the league on those names?
There is with Gafford for sure. I would be surprised if Gafford has not moved on at some point in the next few days, I guess maybe the next week. There's definitely interest in him as a backup center. People, you know, I think teams around the league like his contract and his salary slot, see him as, you know, at minimum, you know, a regular season quasi starter, quasi backup who can, you know, flex both ways. I think for sure, especially after Mares, who, you know, he'll play the four for Dallas, but he'll also play the five. I think that's going to be somebody that they move on from. On the flip side, we also know that Derek Lively, you know, we're not even sure he's going to be, you know, ready for training camp or opening day. So I guess in that scenario, but I believe there is enough interest around Daniel Gafford that he's kind of one of those second wave free agents or targets where a lot of the first wave stuff has to get done and settled, and people have to see exactly where all the chips fell. and then they'll re-engage with Dallas. So I wouldn't expect him to be like a day one trade. Could be wrong, but I bet by July 5th, 6th, 7th, that is something we're going to start hearing more about.
Tim Cato, All City, enjoy this circus, man. Incredible player movement in day one of a free agency, and can't wait till the Mavs get involved. And until then, we'll chat hoop with you next time, buddy.
Absolutely. We're still technically 45 minutes away from it starting. So obviously nobody has spoken to each other yet. So that's always the best part about it.
It's all above board.
I love it. All right, dude. Enjoy. Take care. There he goes. Tim Cato, a must follow for Mavs fans and NBA fans everywhere from All City. Okay, yes. I mean, we talked about LeBron. He has let it be known he is going to continue playing, but is going to do that elsewhere. Kawhi Leonard is getting traded to Toronto. And the Mavs have been connected to free agent Marcus Sasser from the Pistons, who's got DFW roots. So with 45 minutes to go, that's kind of a snapshot of what's cracking in hoops land. What do we got coming up next, Chief?
Texas Tech News, FIFA Madness, and your stat of the day next year.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in the nation.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's my song right here. And here's the Chief with your hodgepodge.
This makes me feel like walking into AT&T Stadium after the Cowboys pregame show, getting ready for kickoff.
Thunder. I think they play this song as you're walking to the buffet, the carving station area.
Yeah. I do love it. I do love it. All right. Let's podge it up.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to you
is
guys?
The home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket Sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that. Rude motherfucker.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jack stuff.
I got to be honest, I'm playing a little scared. I have two national poo stories.
Great.
But leaking confidence on them, probably, you know, we'll see. We can spank it and bank it and get it back at a later date, you know?
Wow.
I am not confident when talking about some of these stories, even though I do think they are a bit of a PSA for some people. So,
all right, Michelle,
are they World Cup related?
Turn it down.
No, I got some other World Cup stuff.
Let's talk
World
poo.
Cup stuff.
Yeah. You're halfway to an HR file already after that spank bank comment a few seconds ago.
Yeah, that was
just trying to bank it for later.
My goodness.
Yeah, I think you said something before that.
We have we do have the Sorsby news.
Yeah.
Got to get this in here. Sorsby, it looks like, is he's punting on suing the NFL.
Probably a smart decision on his part.
Yeah.
He's already in the midst of, like, how many different lawsuits? Too many.
You don't want to sue the NCAA and the NFL in the same 3-month span?
Yeah.
Not a good look.
Yeah, that is that's not what you want to do there. So they've come to a bit of an agreement. He's being more accountable in his Notes app screenshot as he explains his decision. I accept 100% responsibility for my actions. Mm-hmm. I did not have control of my gambling problem, and it took getting caught for me to realize that, but it was truly the best thing that could have happened to me.
Absolutely it was.
Because of this, I've been able to get the help I need and fully focus on my recovery. Okay, among other things.
Bet you I'll be back.
He bent the knee and kissed the ring.
Hell yes.
That's what you gotta do, man.
Yep.
How you got to do? You got to play a little bit nice here. Just eat the suspension for the 1 year of no football. But it looks like under this particular settlement here, Sorsby will be allowed to participate in the entire pre-draft process for all non-league events, including the Senior Bowl, his pro day, and team visits leading up to the 2027 NFL draft. Ask,
but no combine.
Let me ask Drew Fabianich.
You're right. Gonna, yeah, no combine.
Okay. Oh, no combine.
That's an NFL event. But everything else. he will be available for.
Sounds like you got some good advice. Like, hey, you could fight the NFL, but they could drag it out in court, and it's not going to go your way. Oh. So if you want to one day play pro football in the NFL,
yeah,
start doing what they want.
This is exactly the right steps for him to be taking. And I'm sure that Joey McGuire and Texas Tech would still allow him to practice and stay in shape there in Lubbock if he needs to.
I mean, I would consider myself lucky to even have an open door from the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the lifetime bannable, what is that called? Infractions I've committed.
Yeah, you don't want to, like they say, you can't crap where you eat, right? He's not eating there yet, but he's going to eat there.
Yeah.
He's hoping to eat there.
Yeah.
You can't deuce on where you're hoping to go eat.
Yeah.
So, and this is unrelated to the other national poo stories that I have, but I guess, you know, it all leads back to, you know, don't crap where you eat or where you're going to eat
or sleep. I mean, he basically crapped next door, you know?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. And then he tried to go to the neighbor's house, and they're like,
we've heard about you.
If you want us to feed you next year, don't crap here. It's like John Madden's bus. Only John can crap there.
Yeah, John.
So
it's a nice bus, by the way.
Apparently, one hell of a bus.
No, I've ridden around in the bus.
Never but go you, to in another man's Winnebago.
You went number one, though. Didn't you say you won in his van or
no,
his bus?
No, I just rode on the bus. I rode on the bus. Didn't use the men's.
And they made you pull over at a Texaco to go take a leak?
We didn't have
I thought you were having sushi with him.
Yeah, we didn't have Buc-ee's or anything like
and
that.
Soy sauce.
Gosh. Not a world I want to live in.
No. Nice bus, though.
Speaking of Texas Tech, though, you know, adjacent to Soresby here, you have the Texas Tech football. Something special has been in the works since January. Coming this fall, a four-part docuseries produced by Skydance, streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. So you are going to get like an inside look at how Texas Tech has gone about building this year's team. I would imagine you would have plenty of the Soresby interactions
in
there. Like, this is going to be must watch for college football fans. I think this is going to be.
They do a really good job of evaluating players. Joey treats that thing like an NFL team. He's got scouts and like assistant scouting directors and. He's got all kinds of evaluators.
It's going to be fun. Paramount Plus, four episodes. I'm excited. I think it's the same people that did the Untold Sign Stealing deal with Michigan. So this is the
we
Netflix
have that?
People.
That came out?
Yeah, it came out like I think a year ago. Connor, it's definitely worth a watch. You check it on Netflix.
Netflix.
Okay. It was really good.
Oh. I love it, dude. Texas Tech is becoming, I mean, right up there as the most talked about and highly anticipated college football program.
Cody Campbell's doing it right. I mean,
he
probably shouldn't talk as much as he does, but he's definitely doing a great job of having Texas Tech now in the mainstream.
I don't think you're going to like this one here, Broadus. We have the sponsorship patches going on, uniforms and whatnot.
Oh,
did you see Wisconsin?
Is it Culver's?
It's Culver's. The crappiest burger in America.
I just kind of felt like it was way oversold.
The most embarrassing patty melt.
I think we were drinking a lot that day at the ballpark, and everybody was talking about Culver's and how great it was.
It kind of looks sharp, though, because it's like the baby blue with the white letters, and it's on their red jersey. You know, it kind of pops a little bit, but it's just a reminder of one of the more disappointing meals
we've
ever had together.
Did that not have, like, a beer company on their shirt? Like, they couldn't have, like, Miller Lite, or something like that.
I don't know if Jerry would allow that. You know,
on cheese curds, man.
No, we're talking about Wisconsin, right?
No, I know, but Miller Lite.
Yeah,
well, like Jerry's kind of he's got his fingerprints on that.
Miller Lite runs that show.
Miller Lite runs that show.
Miller Lite runs that show.
I'll take your word for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, we also have. We thought it just meant more in the SEC, but it turns out it means more in the FIFA World Cup. Did you see two stories of just how this matters so very, very much? You have Mexico taking on Ecuador tonight in Mexico City. The home field advantage is going to be at an all-time high tonight in Mexico City.
High heat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The elements.
12th man factor.
Plus the 12th man factor. And the
it's 12th, a beautiful stadium.
Is it?
Oh, my gosh. Right. We're in the mountains. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. We've seen some games get played out there.
Yes, we have.
So, man, the Mexico fans have already made their presence felt here with Ecuador having to stay in a hotel in Mexico City in preparation for tonight's game. You had
all night.
The biggest crowd you could imagine. Yeah. This might as well have been the Knicks parade in New York City.
Outside their windows, huh?
All right. Yes. In the wee hours of the night, and they are making all the noise that you, that one could make. Every instrument possible. This is a little bit of some sound here of the Mexico fans outside the Ecuador Hotel after midnight last night.
Let's go.
They got bands. They got instruments.
Wow.
They have car horns. A little bit of rhythm.
Yeah.
And
feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme.
I mean, just bonding together as fans. Like, this is fantastic. This is what high-level, high-stakes sports is all about, especially when it comes to your country right here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the 12th man for sure.
This is beautiful. I love it.
Like, is Ecuador prepared when they show up? Do they know, like, okay, we start connecting the dots. We're in Mexico City. We're taking on Mexico.
Yeah, get ready. England's about to have to go through the same thing here coming up.
That's right.
Sure,
yeah, next
so.
Round.
Yeah.
If sure
they,
hope so.
Yeah, I heard they called the police, and the police showed up and turned on their sirens.
Yeah, I guarantee it, dude.
That's awesome.
Who are you going to call to help you? There's no one that wants to help you in this situation.
This is terrible, enemy territory.
This is terrible planning by Ecuador.
You better have noise-canceling headphones.
This is terrible planning by Ecuador.
They should have made it
today. Terrible planning? What are you supposed to... I mean...
Yeah, you need to
come in day a game.
Yeah,
you need to. Well, maybe
they play tonight.
Imagine. I think they want the teams there the night before the games. But terrible planning. You need to go, even if it's a 50-mile bus ride. You need to get away from that city. You knew this was going
to
happen.
We need to find a hotel that has like underground accommodations, or we need to,
or a rooftop. Like you're so high up that you won't even be able to
super
hear
super soundproof. Yeah,
yeah, there's no way. There's no way. I mean, and most of these teams stay in pretty nice hotels. So, but yeah, you know, staying in Mexico City that you're not going to have a good night's sleep.
How about that?
That right there is
going
to get them.
You got shirts off. They're going helicopter with the shirt. You know what I'm saying? They're going nuts.
That song be jamming,
bro. They had a full-on band out there.
Incredible.
Yeah. Plus the cars. I mean, it was outstanding. And then you also have, speaking of, it just means more accountability, okay? Did South Korea just completely S the bed here?
Yeah.
During the World Cup, is that what that was? Just not meeting expectations in any possible way?
Yeah, they were a big disappointment.
The problem is that it's not the players and it's not the manager. It's the
coaches.
It's the federation.
The coaches. It's the coaches. Players, it's not on you.
No.
It's not on you.
No. It's corrupt. It's so corrupt. They brought back a guy as their manager.
Is this the guy they blurred out during the
they brought back a guy who had lost this thing before.
Oh, like, okay.
They had a chance to go get Canada's coach, and they didn't.
Turncoat?
Yeah, and they basically just had no search on it and all that, and they just brought back a guy, and they think there's so much corruption and problems.
Okay.
It's just like,
well, then it makes more sense.
It's
then.
A good old boy kind of a deal is what they describe it as.
Because South Korea's president is calling for an investigation into the national soccer team.
Exactly.
After their garbage trash performance. I just thought this was because they sucked so bad.
No.
And he wants to go in there and figure out, why are you embarrassing me and the rest of our nation?
They tried to get in at four in the morning, right? They came rolling in. Like, they tried to come in so early in the morning.
And they were still getting that work.
And they still got worked walking through the airport.
They were beating drums and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, is the last person you want to be in the world right now the manager of that team?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is incredible. Who do we have? Was it Uruguay, who doesn't get the team charter flight back to their country?
Yes.
Because they're so disappointed in
That's
them?
That's terrible.
Like, the accountability factor is historic here.
Oh, they'll make you feel bad for losing this thing.
It's the world sport.
It's amazing, dude.
I mean, South Korea is not that good. They did win a game. They beat Czechia. And then they lost to Mexico, lost to Wolchuk's
everybody, right?
South Africa squad.
Heck yeah, they did.
Yeah, that happened. Thank you, Chief.
Thank
Sports
you.
Hodgepodge in the books. We're coming back with that proper round tripper, Wolchuk. Let's go around the bases.
Man, who just got DFA'd? I'll tell you next here in
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation.
All righty, thank you, Lucius. We got the Rangers pregame coming up in 14 minutes. Here's Woolchuck to give you a proper round tripper.
Let's do it, baby. Let's go around the bases as France has just gone up 1-0 on Sweden right after this.
You don't know how to play first base.
Scott? That's right.
It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
There's no crying in baseball!
You play ball like a girl!
Hey, if for those that don't know, life-changing, the Tommy John underwear.
Could tie it with one swing.
Goodness gracious, what an absolutely beautiful play by Kylian Mbappe, who is still going for the golden boot in this tournament. We had Erling Haaland score earlier as Norway went ahead and moved on past the Ivory Coast, and now Sweden with Mbappe getting another goal. But some bad news. I mean, this was kind of a bummer because I thought he did a really nice job yesterday filling in on short notice as Chris Paddock was signed by the Rangers. Today, he's been designated for assignment as the Rangers have had to recall the righty Gavin Collier from AAA Round Rock.
Okay, yeah, we're going to have a lot of movement here.
Man.
How much money does he get for that?
I know, it's just like, gosh, here you go. All right, we're gonna bring you in for the day. We need somebody to come in and pitch some relief for us and give us some four innings because we don't want to tax the bullpen and we're in a bit of a problem right here. We got Leiter down. We don't know what to do. You go out, you play well, and all right, now we need more help in the pen because we got DeGrom on tonight. Hopefully he goes six at least, and then Gavin Collier, we're probably going to have to use you out of the pen.
Can we have a little bit of love out there for our guys CY and Skip? You know, like this is
never being complacent.
A hell of a job,
always
figuring out a way to manufacture a win streak with half of a AAA lineup out there.
Yeah, I mean, what they were able to do, Elias Diaz has been fantastic. They signed him a month ago now.
The catcher, yeah.
Nicky Lopez has been good, and they're both in the lineup today. You got Jock Peterson back, DHing, leading off. He's back in the leadoff spot against Tanner Bibee, who's a righty. I mean, they've been really good against lefties here as of late. They've got a winning record here in their last 15. Josh Young's hitting second, playing third. Seager back in the lineup, batting third at short. Jake Berger at first, hitting cleanup, playing first base. Duran staying in right field. Evan Carter at center, Osuna at left, and then Elias Diaz catching for DeGrom and Nicky Lopez. That will round out your order as the Rangers at 43-42, first place in the AL West. Can they get another series victory tonight against the Guardians? And they've scored first in 9 straight games. That's their longest span in nearly 28 years that they've done that. The franchise record is 10 straight games, which they set in 1974 and in 1989. So they're 33-10 this year when they score first. That's the highest winning percentage in the American League, second best to the Dodgers in all of the majors.
But they're third worst when they don't score first, right?
I mean, they're probably the worst.
Yeah, I think.
Oh no, they are.
I think they're third worst.
There's a team that's worse than them.
There's a couple of teams I think that are worse than them.
I mean,
that's surprising.
They've been batting really well over their last 20. They've got 27 home runs. They're averaging over a homer a game. They've got 94 runs, 4.5 runs a game. They're among the best in the American League when it comes to on-base percentage, second in batting average, fourth in slugging, tied for seventh in runs overall. So the last 20 games, the offense has really turned it around for the Rangers. And you're seeing that result now in going on a nice little run here. What did you say? They were 17-13?
They're 18-11.
Okay.
Now, in their last 29 games. This is you're now within, I think, 10 games of this being who you are.
Yeah.
Keep this going through the break, and I think we're having completely different conversations.
Yes. I mean, they're certainly, you know, I didn't want to totally go, you know, Rangers party today. And open up Club Rangers, but I think we're on the verge. We're on the cusp.
Getting closer.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
If they can finish off this sweep, maybe on Thursday when we're out at the ballpark.
Okay.
We might be dancing. We might be opening up that club. We might be doing it, baby.
Well, let's get the rally towels. We might as well, because there's going to be Friday vibes on a Thursday.
Yeah, and we're heading into America's birthday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be glorious. Shout out to, again, Cam Colley, who joined us earlier.
Fun
hit
guy.
A triple.
for his first Major League Baseball hit in the seventh inning, scored the go-ahead run with Nicky Lopez. He lined a single. Here comes Colley, just the seventh Ranger to ever post a triple for his first Major League hit, fourth on that list to do so in his first Major League game as he joined Hanser Alberto, who did it back in 2015, Jeff Fry, Pete O'Brien. They did mention that on the broadcast. But, hey, this is we got good vibes right now for the Texas Rangers.
We'll Such a cool kid.
He really is.
I need him to stay up in the big league so we can talk to him more often.
He's a good interview. Yeah. Dang. He's just a good guy.
He's hilarious.
He is. He's funny, man.
Can we get his jersey yet? Is it available?
I mean,
can you buy that?
I wouldn't mind buying it. I think that you could. I mean, I don't think he's getting sent down. That was the bold prediction yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's here to stay.
I'll take a Rough Riders jersey.
I'll take a whatever it is. The Round Rock Express.
Yeah.
Double A. Frisco. I'll take a Rangers one. Maybe a Tejas. Get the City Connect one in red. Cam Colley in red might be his color.
So Osuna, Colley, like I'd say this team's doing a pretty good job of creating a pipeline.
Yeah,
even though he's only like the 14th highest prospect in the organization right now.
Your lefty killer, yeah. Now they just need
12 guys better than him.
That catcher Moore to get his way up here eventually. That'd be fun. But they're
Elias Diaz is going to keep that for the next decade.
He might be.
He'll be 45 years old still.
Maybe Higgy, sorry, you know,
or Danny.
Yeah, Danny might not get his job back. He might have been
Danny got
dipped.
Wally Pipp, yeah.
I think so, dude.
All right, so MLB.com has biggest trade deadline needs for every playoff contender, and you bet, yes, the Rangers are on this list. But it's interesting because normally we're talking about
pitchers.
Well, it's a bat.
But CY's talking about pitchers.
It's not a starter, but it is the bullpen. Rangers relievers have a 3.82 ERA, fifth best mark in the AL, but the Rangers lack many swing and miss arms in the bullpen, something they should look to add during the next month. The Rangers have a 7.8 strikeout per nine, which ranks last among all AL pens. So adding some hard-throwing, high-leverage relievers could be in the cards, perhaps. A reunion.
Aroldis Chapman.
No, Let's go, man. No, I'm not.
Bring that Tiger Bomb down
here.
He's got 16 saves.
I missed the gas.
Big Larry and I were watching. It was after the golf. We were watching the Red Sox-Yankees game.
Yeah.
They brought Chapman in there. It was 2-0 Red Sox chance to win it.
Bases were loaded 5 minutes later.
And then it was 2-2.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, Red Sox came back and won it in extras, but... literally,
there's something about him in a Rangers uniform. He just works out of jams.
Sonny Gray had a no-hitter going into the eighth.
Oh, no.
And they almost lost that game.
That's terrible.
No, Chapman.
All right, we're not with you on Chapman.
I think we flew way too close to the sun with Chapman.
It was nerve-wracking.
Yeah. We got the best of it. Well, thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Proper round tripper in the books with the pregame show coming up here in about 6 minutes. As I told you last night, get to this Cleveland bullpen ASAP. Took him till the seventh last night. Luckily, our guy Cam Colley chased him off. So get to Bybee early, and in order to do that, extend at bats, foul off his fastball. He's got a good fastball. With Seager, trust the process. 5 walks in 3 games since coming back. That's my second key to victory. I think he might be nursing an injury. I think they've gotten finally him to consider a new approach, though. And I think there might be absolute gold as you let this thing play out into the summer with him adjusting how aggressive he is. And less aggression will mean more pitches to hit as soon as the scouting report gets out on him that Corey Seager's isn't swinging at your junk anymore. We should be getting some more fastballs to Seager, and you know what he'll do with those. The Guardians are struggling to score, though. Jose Ramirez still out for the Guardians. He's got a hamate bone injury. So get ahead of them without getting hit hard is the key tonight for Jacob deGrom. France and Sweden are in the 45th minute. We're still we had the goal
now.
From Mbappe.
It's
okay, so
halftime.
It is 1-0 France. Mexico and Ecuador coming up at 8 o'clock. All righty, for Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control here at 75 and 6:35. Just went 3 hours flawless, like it was nothing. Thanks so much to Zach Wolchuk and Eric Chiafalo, as well as Brian Broadison for Off the Knicks. Coordinate your video. We'll be back on tomorrow after the day game finale. It'll be a 12 o'clock start. We'll take the air about 3 or 3:30 or so, and hopefully by then we have some big Mavs news to talk about. Till then, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.